Hello, iPhone photography fans. Welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast. My name is Keith Tharp, your host, along with Mark Sadowski and Matt Hoffman. How are you guys today?
Awesome.
Doing great.
Super duper. First off, I'd like to apologize to all of our diehard dedicated fans. Last week's episode was had some technical difficulties, and we elected to go for a higher level of quality and didn't air it. So we are back with episode 6.1 this week, and we hope you like it. I'd like to say hello to the focus group. If you are not familiar, the Tiny Shutter goes live every week on Tuesdays, directly after the Lenswipe Photography Podcast. And if you head to Tiny Shutter or Facebook/Tiny Shutter, you can see what times and get the link for the live feed. And I think that's it. Let's move into the news. Cool. So, in seriously old news, Facebook buys Instagram for $1 billion in cash and stock. This would have been breaking exciting news last week. This week, it's everybody's heard of it. Even people who didn't even know what Instagram was, like my wife's mother, is like, oh, I heard about that.
So, everybody's heard of it. And yeah. It's important to distinguish that, like, if anybody who's really questioning this, they're not giving away $1 billion. It's the stock options thing is a huge
well, yeah, I mean, I don't know where all the breakdowns are. I heard a an estimation that I can't think of his name, but the big guy, the CEO Systrom? Guy Systrom.
I always want to say syndrome.
And I always want to say Cisco, but
think of the villain from The Incredibles.
But I heard that he was gonna clear $400 million out of it. So if that's the case, then that's not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all.
No. And they
owning some Facebook stock is gonna be pretty incredible too.
Yeah, not bad at all. It's Systrom, and the other guy is Krieger. Are the two big guys there. And then the only other tidbit of news that's relative to this since it's all blown over since last week is just that the two guys went out on a super Las Vegas party, I think it was last night or the night before, and actually tweeted a picture of themselves with the owner of this Encore Club in Las Vegas.
Nice.
which is a fairly super high-end celebrity type of club.
Enjoy it. They earned it.
Right. So, moving on, real quick, iPhone 5 rumors. It's all but confirmed at this point that Apple is going to eliminate the use of the volume button as a shutter button in a future iOS update. They're already beginning to deny apps that are offering that as a feature, and also denying apps that are including it in their updates. We know about that because of Camera Awesome having to eliminate it from their second update.
Now that's weird because Camera Plus hasn't eliminated it from theirs, and they've had updates after Camera Awesome.
Right, and so I'm not sure how they got away with it. Maybe SmugMug just decided to step up to the task and say, okay, well, since it's going to be eliminated, we'll just eliminate it now. Maybe Apple isn't technically denying it yet, but it is speculated to be something that they are eliminating. And to tie that in with the rumor portion of this, the rumor is that the iPhone 5 is going to be sporting a dedicated shutter button for the phone, I mean for the camera specifically. Whether or not that happens or not, I don't know. I don't even know if, I mean, I guess if ergonomically it was in a great place that was functioning well with the wherever the lens happens to end up, then I think that would be a great thing. But where the plus button is and the way I hold my iPhone, I never used it.
I was just going to ask you guys if you ever use it. I thought I'd use it all the time. I was psyched when they made that update and that functionality, but I never use it.
When I hold my camera in the horizontal position, the landscape position, I use it. When I'm holding it portrait style, I don't use it. So that's how I use it. But I know one of our fans, Brett Spinning from Maine, who's a phenomenal photographer. Love his work. He has some great nature stuff. He is disabled, and he uses the plus button quite frequently, and he uses it through, if I remember correctly, he uses it through the tether, the volume control on the headset, and it's allowed him to have better control. And the fact that they're taking it away has him pretty pretty ripped about it. So,
in badass iPhone news, a company, and I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, Marudai Corp. It's a Japanese or Chinese company, has developed an iPhone case that will set you back $650. The case is made of 1-inch thick steel, and it's claiming that it'll protect your iPhone from a 50 caliber round to the back. Unless you happen to be up against a very precise sniper, because the case actually also has a hole cut out for the phone. So for us iPhone photographers that are still interested in protecting ourselves from a 50 cal, but making ourselves available to take pictures, it's still exposed there. And if it shoots to the front, you're screwed anyway, because the face of the screen is open, and the that side of the phone is only protected by a thin piece of aluminum. But yeah, and I believe the article I read was 6 pounds.
Jeez. So it doubles as a boat anchor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a weapon in itself. You can block the bullet and then beat the crap out of the guy with the thing after.
That is ridiculous.
It is ludicrous.
The rubber on my OtterBox Defender case is starting to rip, so I guess I know what my new case is going to be.
Joseph from the focus group says, I think the force of a 50 cal would kill you even if it didn't not go through you. So,
Matt, well, after you get it, can you do a review for the Tiny Shot?
Yeah, I was just going to test it out.
Take a you know what? That would be awesome. A ballistics test on this.
Yes.
We don't believe you, company. Send us a sample one, and we want you to shoot one of our people.
You do the review, and then when you're all done with the view, Mark and I will come over and take pop shots at you, see if it really works.
Hang on. This is why we have Android users, right?
Put this thing in your breast pocket and see if it works.
Here, just hold the case.
So, yeah, so that's interesting. Why there's even a call for this is just beyond me, but probably one of those things to, like, see if we can, and they went ahead and did.
I could only see one use for this thing, and that's for journalists overseas harm's way.
But what the hell's it going to do? I mean, if by chance it gets shot in the back, it's not going to kill the iPhone. I mean, it's not going to protect you.
It's added protection. Yeah, it's a text right off of them, right?
It'll slam the iPhone through your body.
Right. This big, nice square black and blue mark. All right, anyway, moving on. And this is Tell Us Something We Don't Know Already category for news. Nick Software's Snapseed reels in its second year in a row Technical Image Press Association Best Mobile Photo App Award for 2012. And also one quick note on that, if you're new to Snapseed or if you're a veteran looking for tips, Snapseed has a new spot on their site now doing tutorials and tips with video content and everything. So that's snapseed.com. I'll put a link in the show notes. If you haven't used Snapseed yet, I'm sure you've heard us talk about it multiple times. It, in my opinion, is, and I've got plenty of editing apps, it's the best.
I have to say, I gotta say, for a simple software, it is the best. I gotta agree with that.
Yeah, I would say if you want to quickly edit your photos but still have them look pretty awesome, Snapseed is where it's at for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and we're talking about a mobile platform. If you're editing your photos in a mobile environment, either on your iPhone or especially on your iPad, because it performs really well there, then it just shines like crazy. You know, we're not talking about, okay, you're sitting next to your computer, and you know, this is when you're out on the go, you're blowing out. It's just, it does great, amazing work. So, but anyway, so that's cool. They've knocked down another best app of 20 or best app photo app award.
Congrats to them.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about this before, but just a quick yay or nay from you guys. The app itself is $4.99. In your opinion, at $4.99, do you think it's worth every penny of $4.99?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. So much better than iPhoto still, I think.
Yeah. I've used Snapseed for almost every single photo I've taken with my iPhone since I bought it, which was who knows how many months ago, but I feel like I got more than my $4.99 worth out of it.
And I believe iPhoto is the same price, isn't it? $4.99?
Yeah. Yes.
And Snapseed, the beauty about it is it's very quick and very intuitive. You can start editing photos like right away. It's yeah. awesome to use. It's very quick. iPhoto, not so much. That's a little bit tricky.
Yeah, iPhoto on the iPhone is pretty near worthless in my opinion. On the iPad, it has much more usability, but on the iPhone itself, it's I deleted it. It just didn't interest me. It was too intricate for the iPhone.
Absolutely. And for the iPad, it's still a little too pretty. And you know what? Snapseed works even better on the iPad. So right. There you go.
Right. All right, folks. So moving into this week's featured content. So this week we are we're jumping ship from last week. Last week we intended on having a sort of Instagram feature, and we were gonna have a Android user on. And I think that was part of our bad luck last week. So we're moving into a new feature this week, or this week's feature is going to be a segment of a collection of tips and techniques and whatnot from the three of us. Some of them will be, I don't know. I know what mine will be. I'm not sure what the boys have brought to the table. But I'm going to go ahead and start out as the first one. And I'm going to start out with my not so epic one, because I know everybody in the focus group is waiting for the epic tip for today, because I've been teasing it all over the internet. But I'm going to start out with my, what I feel is still an epic tip, but just not as epic as the other one. And what it is, it's a kind of a creative idea tip, and what it is use the iPhone and its small, tiny lens for things that you cannot do with anything else. And what I mean by that is the lens and the contraption itself is so small that you can take pictures through or above or on things that you wouldn't be able to before, and I'm going to give you a clear example. At the iStore, while I was waiting for my wife to get her iPhone 4 replaced or repaired or whatever was happening, they have these partitions that separate the accessories from the iMacs, and then the iMacs from the MacBooks and so forth. And these partitions are made out of this like 3/8 inch thick green glass that has tape stripes on both sides. And as I was standing there kind of looking at it, I thought, wouldn't it be a cool idea to shoot into the thickness of this glass? And so what I did was I aimed the lens into the thickness of the glass, so, you know, into that 3/8 width of the glass, and tilted and angled just right, so I got a kind of really neat composition. And it's literally probably my second favorite iPhone picture I've ever taken. It's just very, very unique and very, very cool, and you would never be able to get it with anything that had a lens bigger than 1/4 inch. And actually the lens is probably only 1/8 inch. It's the little opening there is about 1/4 inch. But my point is that to kind of think in that way and use the iPhone in similar circumstances that you wouldn't be able to use nearly any other camera in.
That's pretty cool.
I'll put that picture up on Tiny Shutter so everybody can take a look at it.
Sweet.
Did you post it anywhere else yet?
It's on Instagram. It's been on Instagram. It was probably one of my very first uploads to Instagram, or in that front range.
Gotcha. Alrighty. So I'll start off with kind of a general tip, and that it's a tip with some little bullet points thrown in. So the tip would be to invest in good apps for your iPhoneography. And I'll just give you not specific examples of apps, but just what to kind of look for when you're maybe in the app store and trying to figure out, you know, what you want to put on your phone. So the way I see iPhoneography, there's kind of three steps to it, and that's basically taking the picture, editing the picture and then sharing the picture. And some apps will do all those things, and there's other apps that are a little bit more dedicated. So I think, you know, if you're looking for a good camera app, you want to find something that's going to have a quick startup time so you don't miss your shot. And then something that will let you adjust and lock your focus and exposure points. That gives you a little bit more flexibility and creativity with your compositions and your exposures. And for a good editing app, you kind of want to find something that's going to allow you to adjust contrast, saturation, sharpness, and white balance. And then also, if you could find one that has creative filters and a way to adjust those filter effects and maybe even stack the filters. And then as far as the editing apps go, you might find that to achieve your desired style and vision, you might use multiple editing apps to do that. And then lastly, sharing your photos. You definitely want to find a good sharing app. I think most people know that we all prefer Instagram, but basically sharing or social media apps going to let you connect with like-minded iPhoneographers, and you'll be able to share your work with them and be inspired by the work that they're posting.
Cool.
And that's my tip.
Yeah, the part about possibly needing to use multiple editing apps is a great tip, because it happens fairly normally, I would think, for many people, or at least it does for me, is that I'll go from Snapseed to PicFX, or from Snapseed to one of the others. So that's
or both.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people that are just starting out with an iPhone, that maybe they sign up for Instagram and they start following a few people and they're wondering how people got, you know, the different effects in Instagram. It's usually not with the Instagram filters, and it's usually not with just one app. So that's kind of an important thing. It's kind of like one of those aha, you know, light bulb over the head moments when people realize they could use more than one app to get a look.
Right. Cool. What do you got, Mark?
Well, mine's a little bit more simple than that. When you're photographing on those bright days, or if you want to get a nice effect on a sunset, if you have a polarizing filter from your lens, on your camera lens, remove it from your camera and hold it in front of the lens of your iPhone to take the shot. It'll give that sunset a nice deeper color and contrast. And if it's a really bright day outside, that polarizing filter will help get a better shot in the sunlight. You don't have a polarizing filter? That's okay. Take off your sunglasses, put it in front of the camera, your iPhone lens, and use that instead.
That's thought of that.
I never thought of that either. Very good tip.
Yeah.
I used to use that tip before point-and-shoot cameras. But now that they're kind of going the way of the dodo, do it to your iPhone.
Cool. All right. Now on to my galactically epic tip. And I can't take credit for it.
But you will.
Well, I'm gonna take credit for sharing it, but I am gonna give credit where credit is due. I was on YouTube today, and the maker of the tip is from a iPhone app called Postagram, and I'm not sure if you guys have heard of Postagram before, but what they are is an app that you can make actual tangible postcards with your iPhone pictures and send them to people. But that's besides the point. Here's the app, here's the tip, rather, and it comes, and I'll post a link to the video where they show it so you can see it. When I saw it, my first instinct was, nah, it's just going to be a cheesy kind of whatever, but then I used it, and I was like, I was in love, and I instantly called the guy, or I instantly emailed the guy and requested him for a interview. So we are going to get him on the show for an interview very soon to talk about his tips and also to talk about Postagram.
Cool.
Here's the tip. Take a cup of water. Oh, and as he did, I will preface it by, I will not be responsible if you mess up and screw up your iPhone. Okay? take a cup of water, dip your finger in it so that you just have a drop of water on your finger, and take that drop of water from your fingertip and transfer it to the lens of your iPhone. Okay. And from that point, what I did was just give my phone just a little bit of a tap to kind of settle it in on there. And then you turn it over and it reduces the focus distance of the lens, I mean of the camera, dramatically. And it gives you, it basically turns your iPhone into a macro camera. I mean, and it's, the results are remarkable. One major downfall is that it works best and most effectively in an upside down, like if you have something on the table and you're holding the phone over that thing. If you try and hold it sideways, then obviously your drip of water is going to want to kind of roll down the and off of the phone. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But if you just have it on the lens upside down onto something, it's unbelievable. I posted a picture on Instagram today of a $5 bill, and this thing gets so close that all you see is the eyeball of, damn it, I don't know who's on the $5 bill.
Lincoln?
No, I don't think so, is it? But anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so it's Lincoln. So all you can see is his eyeball. That's just how close.
He's a vampire hunter.
It's just that close. It's extremely sharp. I couldn't believe how sharp it was, and I couldn't believe just what a great job it did. So try it out. And then the other thing about it is I did do a couple of them. Two things about it. The bigger the drop, or the smaller the drop, you can kind of adjust your focus distance. So if you need to kind of adjust your focus distance, you can add a little bit of teeny drip of water or a little bit less. And then the other thing is, with a small amount of water on it, you can get some vertical shots. They're not going to be anywhere near as clear, but they do create some kind of neat stuff, and I'll post some of those on Instagram tomorrow. But I just thought it was such an awesome tip, and it's so actually working, usable, neat, and very cool, and I loved it. My favorite ever thing ever.
Seriously?
I swear to God, it's my favorite iPhone photography tip to this point.
Keith, can I ask you a question about this?
Yeah.
So I saw the picture that you posted of the $5 bill.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty bright. So I was just wondering, was the focus distance close enough that the phone cast a shadow over what you were taking a picture of?
Oh, definitely.
Or did you light it some way?
No. Well, I had it in my kitchen, near a kitchen window. So it was probably brightened by that. And the focus distance is most definitely close enough so that the phone would be casting a shadow on it. So the phone was compensating exposure. And that's the other thing too, when you look at that picture, just so you know, I did not add a tilt shift effect to that. What I did do was give a little bit of a fold to the just a teensy eensy weensy bit of a fold to the bill that gave that sort of tilt shift effect.
Wow. Hey, Joe in our focus group says that he's going to put his 3GS into water and then he might get a 4S out of it.
I would like to hear Joseph's results from this, because I'm remembering my 3GS and knowing that the back of the phone isn't as flat, obviously, as the 4 or the 4S. So I'm wondering how it will work with him. He might have to adjust the angle, or those of you with a 3 or 3GS may have to adjust the angle of your phone slightly to get it to function correctly. But
Keith, I have one more question about this.
Yep.
Did you use a case or no case?
No case, right on the back. I don't use a case on my phone at all anyway. So no, it's just, I mean, we're talking about a tiny, it's just what your finger automatically picks up. And then you just basically touch your finger to the back of the lens, and the glass then accepts the drip. And it's really not enough to cause any damage, but I feel like, you know, we have to add that disclaimer in there in case somebody decides to put it into the speaker rather than the lens or something. But I would like to mention to the listeners, if you do try this out, make sure you post your results over to the Tiny Shutter Facebook page and try it out, though. It's very cool and extremely awesome, and clearly cheaper than any add-on lens that you're going to get.
That's pretty cool.
I'm definitely going to try it, but I'm a little nervous. But your results were really incredible. I was wondering how you did that.
Yeah. Do we have time for more, Mark, or should we just move into the question?
How about I'll do it super duper quick.
Go for it.
Just it's a tip for a specific app. I know Mark is a fan of this app. It's called Pro HDR, and just like the name implies, it's an app that you would use to create a high dynamic range picture. The way it works is it takes two different exposures, a light one and a dark one, blends them together to get a more optimal exposure. But the cool thing that I discovered with this app is you can also use it to do multiple exposure effects. Since it takes two, or actually you wouldn't use the app to take the pictures, but you could load two different photos from your camera roll into the app, and the app will combine them and give you a multiple exposure effect. So that was just something that I accidentally discovered and kind of thought that it was a neat little thing.
Awesome.
Cool.
Very cool. So, listeners, we have a audio question from another listener, and feel free to hit us up on Facebook or anywhere that you can get a hold of us on the individual blog posts for each of the episodes, or on Facebook or on Instagram or any of these locations, and send us in your questions. And today we have an audio question, so let's get to it.
Before we answer the question, I just wanted to say, if you do have an audio question that you'd like to send in to us, you can send the audio file as an MP3 format directly, or actually, yeah, MP3 format would be the best way. Send it to me directly at ms@tinyshutter.com.
Hi guys, my name's Oliver and I'm calling from the UK. I just wanted to call and say I'm really enjoying the show, and I've got a question for you guys. So recently I've been using Photoshop for my iPad, and I'd be really interested to know if any of you guys have got it, and if so, what do you guys think of it? Anyway, keep up the good work and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
So Oliver mentioned that he had been using it. I wish he had given us his opinion on the app too. Maybe he can hit us back on the Facebook group or on the post for the show. After receiving his question, I went ahead and downloaded it. My wife has the new iPad, and I used it there. And I've used it quite a few times since then, and I really like it. As a Photoshop user, I felt like it wasn't that much of a leap as far as the interface goes to make my way around the Photoshop Touch app. I can tell you that I was impressed by the amount of things that I could do and the quality of what I created with it. But in the end, in my opinion, this is just something that is another kind of, you know, like if I had nothing to do and I wanted to really get intricate and make something like for on a personal level, maybe for like a really intricate Instagram picture or Facebook picture or something like that, it's nothing that I would use for any kind of professional work or client work or anything. And since our last talk about it, it's also something that I've realized it's nothing that I would use on a regular basis like I do with Snapseed, where I can bring an image into Snapseed, do all my tonal corrections and creative corrections and all that kind of stuff, and get it out the door, bing, bang, done, quick. Whereas with Photoshop Touch, it's really kind of an app that it's more involved, and it's something that you're going to spend more time on. I did find that using the stylus helped me, but even without the stylus, it was usable, and it was a great app. So, I mean, that's how I feel about it.
See, I felt it was clean but clunky. I found, well, it's a clean app. It looks great. It presents itself well, but navigating through everything was it wasn't very obvious to me, especially when I wanted to export the photo to my camera roll. God, it took me forever to find it.
Yeah. Did you do any of the tutorials?
No.
Okay.
I don't do tutorials.
I went through the tutorials.
I expect it to work immediately like Snapseed.
And that's a good point. I went through the tutorials and they were nice and helpful and useful. And so that kind of gave me, maybe that gave me a bit of a leg up as far as getting everything handy and useful.
Yeah. But it's an okay app, but I find it's easier to use something like PhotoForge 2, where it allows you to do a lot of intricate things, but in an easier way. And I think the format is much more intuitive and finally the output. The output is much smaller than you would get when you edit with, say, something like Snapseed. I forget the dimensions, but it's considerably less.
Well, I wasn't aware of that, so it actually resizes.
Yeah, it resizes from the original photo.
Interesting.
And I wish I had the dimensions in front of me, but I don't. But I know there is a difference.
Interesting. Okay.
So, that's our 2 cents.
Have you used it, or do you get a chance to use it, Matt?
I have never used it.
Do you have an iPad?
Editing, like, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have an iPad, so if I did, I'd probably give it a try. But for stuff like that on my iPhone, I have Iris Photo Suite, and I generally just use that.
It also comes down to price.
Right, Snapseed, it's $9.99, right?
Yeah, it's $9.99 for Photoshop. It's $4.99 for Snapseed. Right. And I think Snapseed, you get far more bang for the buck.
I'm not going to argue with you about that, except for the fact that I think that you get much more creative kind of things with selections and masking and things like that that you don't get with Snapseed. Snapseed is amazingly awesome at what it is, but Photoshop Touch is definitely not on the same playing field. So I think $9.99 is expensive for an app. I think that my opinion is that I think Photoshop Touch comes in and is worth that price, to be honest with you.
I don't think so. That's just me. I think it's worth $4.99, but not $9.99. But we're talking about Adobe here, so.
Right. Well, and of course, I say it's worth $9.99 because of its feature set, but I'm not going to use it. It's going to sit. It's going to sit there on my iPad unused, except for the occasional time when I play with it. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for the question, Oliver, and we look forward to getting more questions from everybody. So send them on in. Any questions that you've got, we will tackle them. And if we have to spend $50 on apps, we probably won't. But we might spend $10 on them. So send them in. And let's move into our focus points for the week. So my pick of the week is a short film skitty kind of thing. I don't know what, it's only like 3 or 4 minutes long, so I don't know what you would call it. I do know what you call it, because the title of the film is called Operation. It's a short suspense film made by a guy named Ryan Connolly, who runs a YouTube channel and Revision 3 channel called Film Riot. And the neat thing about this film is, first of all, it was really well done. And second of all, it was completely 100% shot on the iPhone 4S. First of all, his channel does a lot of great stuff with teaching you about filmmaking and stuff like that. And I don't know if it was a user question or what, but he went ahead and created the film straight with the iPhone 4S, and it came out great. The quality, the everything about it was great. But what I'll do is I'll put links in the show for this. He also had a behind-the-scenes kind of how-to thing for it, so definitely go check it out. It's just very cool, and it kind of touches on my other thing. It's just the kind of things you can do creatively-wise. Like, you know, I mean, you don't need to do a film with the 4S just to show you can, but what you can do is say, okay, since I can do this, what kind of things can I use the iPhone 4S for that I wouldn't be able to use, you know, my 5D Mark II for or whatever. So I thought it was really great, and that's my focus point for the week.
Very cool. My focus point for this week is a little app called InstaDM. So that's InstaDM. And it was presented by Shayna, one of our listeners. And it's an attachment to Instagram. And what it's basically adding chat features to Instagram. And that's essentially what it is. I had a pretty cool conversation with Shayna, and that's all I have on my list. So,
Mark, is it something that the other person has to also have the app for?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a free app. But it's a really, it's kind of a cool app.
Cool. I'm downloading it right now. I don't know if
Matt always does what you tell him to do.
Not always. I didn't buy an iPad.
Oh, that's
week.
True, right?
You should have. It's all good.
All right. I have an app this week also. Basically, this app I thought of because recently we were talking about the guy down in Boston, I think it was, that was photographing cops, I think, arresting somebody, and he ended up getting arrested himself, and he sued the police and won a bunch of money. So there's an app, in case anyone has any questions about when they can and can't photograph stuff. And it's a very simple name. It's just called Photographer's Rights. And within that app, you could select from a few different countries. So you could click on USA. And then within that, it tells you basically what you can and can't do, like in public places, private places, official places like military bases and things of that nature, how to deal with security guards, and basically it tells you like when your rights are being infringed upon and what you can do about it. So it's a pretty cool handy little app if you ever find yourself in a situation and you're not sure how to handle it, or if you end up in some sort of gray area.
Very cool.
All right, folks, so that's it for this week's episode of Tiny Shutter Podcast, episode 6.1. Thanks for bearing with us through our technical difficulties last week. And what we're going to do is close off by telling you where you can find us on Instagram. For me, it is Keith_Tharp.
For me, Mark Sadowski, it is username LensWipe, LENSWIPE.
Yeah, I've been thinking maybe I should spell mine out for everybody. So my Instagram username is M Hoffman Photo, and that's the letter M H O F F M A N P H O T O.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much. And I also want to send a shout out to the focus group. Thanks for hanging in there with us. And thanks for the focus group. Unlike the feed listeners, the focus group got to listen to the debacle that was episode 6. But we have 6.1 in the books, and make sure you tune back in next week. Head over to facebook.com/tinyshutter. Make sure you like the page so that you can stay up to date. Also, get yourself over there because we're doing free app alerts and other stuff like that, as well as on the as well as at tinyshutter.com. There's also blog articles and stuff like that going up there to stay up to date with as well. So thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
See you later.
Okay.
Goodbye. It is done.
It's over. Cue the porn music.
Sorry. My bad.
So anyway, I'm not going to say that because that sounds stupid.
Let's do it.
Let's do it with our pants off.
Mark, how the hell do you use this Insta DM thing? Was that... Are we doing just one at a time? Or?
Oh, boy.
Finish him! Oh, Johnny Depp, isn't it? Oh, okay. Then, there you go.
Huh?
Yeah, the things we talk about when you're not here. Want to just do that right now? Want me?
Because I have to wait for it to die off before I can reset it.
All right, so I'll just do that right now before we end it.
Huh?
Want me just do that right now?